Blog Talk Radio.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Mamo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, man. How's it going? Doing good.
Doing good, man. Doing good. Glad to have you on the show, as always, man.
Yeah, glad to be on, as usual.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in to this latest episode of Sports Urban Legend. And on today's show, we got a big show for you today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be previewing the WrestleMania 40 pay-per-view event that's going to go down 1 week from today, Saturday and Sunday. We've got big matchups coming up for that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, the Knicks and Brunson, one point away, shy of the franchise, tying the franchise record set by Melo. We'll get into that. We'll talk about the Mets and Yankees going opposite direction, typically, as usual, except the Mets not winning on opening day. That's the only different thing about that. We'll get into that. And we'll just talk about whatever else is going on in the world of sports and entertainment. So any of you would like to call in and let your voice be heard on any of these topics and more, we'd love to hear from you. And that number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, let's dive right into the Knicks. The Knicks, they've been playing well lately. They recently climbed up to the third spot prior to the loss to the Spurs on Friday night, early Saturday morning in San Antonio. But unfortunately, even though the Knicks were facing, a horrible team in the Spurs, Wembanyama, man, he had a career night, scoring 40 points, grabbing 20 rebounds, and, Brunson, he stellar night, scored 61 points, kind of got cold, towards the end of, the fourth quarter and into the overtime. But, I mean, obviously, he's scoring all those points and playing all those minutes. I mean, it's gonna get to you, But Brunson, he has nothing to hang his head on. Obviously, we lost the game. I think it was the final score was 130-126, if my memory served me right. It was a great performance. Only Melo has, scored more. I mean, 61, that's a magical number in New York. Melo would know, and obviously Roger Maris and Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle would know about that as well in a different sport. So, props to Jalen Brunson, always taking his game to the superstar level, and no one can dispute it. No one cannot dispute that this guy is a superstar now. I mean, this guy is, like, practically single-handedly carrying the Knicks, to new heights. And without Randall being, healthy, without OG and Anunoby being healthy, Mitchell Robinson just came back, in this game against the Spurs. Hardenstein is, battling, problems, but he's playing through it. And of course, obviously, DiVincenzo, he's been bringing it, and congratulations to him, setting the threes record over for the season and in a game in the same week. So congrats to DiVincenzo as well. But the Knicks had a tough loss against a bad team, but what can you do, man? You just gotta tip your cap to the men, even in a losing effort. Yeah. Well, what would you like to say, Mac?
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks, they've been playing real well over the past week. They had a great, successful road trip where they finished 4-1. They lost that one game to the Denver Nuggets. Then they came back home and they beat up on the Brooklyn Nets. But yeah, I mean, that game the other night or yesterday against the Spurs, that was a game that they should have won and they could have won. But you got to go up to the Spurs. I mean, the Spurs, even though they have 16 or 17 wins, you know, they have the attitude of their coach Popovich. So they're gonna fight through, and they're a gutsy team. And they weren't gonna let the Knicks just come in and run them over. And I remember someone said that Wembanyama. Is that how you pronounce his name? Wembanyama? Wembanyama?
Wembanyama. Yeah, I thought about this this morning. I was like, man, he could kill me about that hot take I had, I don't know, a month or two ago.
Someone said he was overrated,
yeah.
I believe, before
I
checking
like,
the stats.
I knew you were going to come with that. But, hey, like I said on that show, it could have even been as early as 3 weeks ago. I can't even remember. But like I said, when you brought the facts and, you know, you showed, you know, he scored, he had some better games and stuff like that. I was like, you know what? I was wrong. I said it live on the show, on the spot.
The
that
guy
I was wrong.
Is the truth. The guy is the
and,
truth.
Wait,
know,
repeat that?
The guy is the truth. He's averaging 21 points,
he's
10 rebounds. You know, he's the next great center. I mean, the Spurs have had a lot of great big men throughout their franchise, you know.
99,
Tim Robinson,
Clint Powers,
Tim Duncan, and now Wembanyama. He had a great performance. I mean, his Brunson's performance overshadowed his. And he had a great one, 40 points, 20 rebounds. I mean, that's ridiculous, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
But, he carried the Spurs on his back, just like Brunson was carrying the Knicks on his back. So you got to give it up to this young man. You know, he has a bright future in the league.
Even though Brunson scored 61, you know, he got the win, and he put up an upset. So
he definitely played well. But, you know, Knicks overall, I mean, they're still in good shape. I mean, right now they're, fourth in the standings, right? They're right behind the Cavs for that third spot. There's a possibility they could still take that second spot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're only, I think, 2.5 games behind the second spot Bucks. So there's still a chance with how many games left in the season now? We have about 8-9 games
like
left.
Like 9 or 8
you know?
Probably.
So there's still a chance that they can possibly overtake the Bucks. You know, we'll see. But they just have to continue playing well. I mean, yesterday they didn't play good defense at all.
Nope.
They didn't play – I mean, compared to the previous games – They're playing pretty solid defense, holding teams to under 100 or just over 100 points. But this game was just like they were just letting Spurs have their way, score whenever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let that happen, you know, going forward, especially against the OKC Thunder. I mean, that team has been hot all year as well. So they're going to present a big problem for the Knicks tomorrow. That's going to be at the Garden, I believe, right? Or is that at OKC?
I believe it's at the Garden. Let me, I'm going to double check.
Actually, I see it. Yeah, it looks like it is at the Garden. So, Knicks have an advantage there that they'll be home. So, that'll be a really good game. I mean, you have two pretty good teams fighting for top spots, top spot in the playoffs. So, that should be a good matchup right there tomorrow night. But the Knicks, they just got to play better defense, move past that game, and hopefully they can play much better defensive-oriented game tomorrow night against the Thunder. And hopefully, you know, we've had a number of these injuries. Hopefully these guys can start coming back now. I hear that OG might play tomorrow, possibly. And also hearing that Julius Randle might return April 5th, it looks like, possibly. So we'll see if that's the case. But we got Mitchell Robinson back, and he's been producing a bit. Still looks like he's a bit slower since he's come back. But I guess as the more games he plays, he'll just get he'll get more in habit.
More reacclimated to it.
Yeah. So we'll see how he does down the stretch here going into the playoffs. But yeah, the Knicks just need to you gotta put this loss behind them and just have a great game against the Thunder here. could be a big matchup tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's all they can do. Try to stay healthy and win some games, leapfrog over the Cavaliers, and the Bucks potentially, and avoid the Celtics until, you know, God willing, the Eastern Conference Finals, if we can get past these teams. But it's not going to be easy. Because, they got to be at least in the third spot to potentially avoid the Celtics, you know, until the Eastern Conference Finals, because you got to avoid the Celtics as long and as far.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they'd be playing the Celtics in the first round. They'd have to drop down all the way down to, like, the eighth spot Celtics in the first round.
But I'm saying, if they're not in the top three spot, they're
going to face them in the
second round at least or so.
Well, you got to look at it this way. You got to face the Celtics anyway, right? So
yeah.
And you're not going to have home court advantage. So whether you play them in the second or third round doesn't matter. You know, you just got to be the team in front of the team that you're playing, you know. And Celtics, if we have them in the second round, that's going to be the opponent that we're going to have to beat. And so be it, you know. Because we're gonna have to go on the road anyway to try to beat them, so what it is.
But I'm saying, with the momentum of us knocking off some other teams, maybe that'll give them the confidence to, you know, overtake the Celtics. I mean, obviously, like you said,
If we do get the Celtics in the second round, I would think beating them would give us more momentum to go forward and maybe to the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
you know?
It depends on how you look at it. It could give you the fuel and be like, hey, we beat those guys up so we can face anybody in the Eastern Conference because they're the beast of the East. Or you could look at it and be like, oh, they exert all their energy and, you know, got exhausted when they faced going to a hard-fought series with the Celtics, and then they're playing down to their competition as compared to the Celtics. It's like however you look at it, you know, you look at it in a positive or a negative way. I mean, obviously you're in the playoffs, so you got to look at it in a positive way, you know, because, hey, you're in it. You got to be in it to win it. So
yeah.
All roads lead to Boston and the Celtics. So, you know, in order for us to go to the finals, first time we haven't done it since 99, shoot, we haven't been to the finals since the 20th century, so, you know, we gotta go past them.
Yeah,
you know, so, go New York. Let's see what happens. Oh yeah, and another thing, in related Knicks news, since they are trying to leapfrog the Cavaliers, you know, as a potential rematch from last year when we, you know, eliminated them from the playoffs. Dan Gilbert, he believes that Donovan Mitchell is going to sign an extension with the Cavs. You know, he said that he loves the situation there. You know, he thinks he loves the city and the team and all that stuff. So, what do you think is going to happen?
I do see that happening. I see him re-signing with the Cavs. I mean, I know, as you know, the Knicks fans still want him to come over here, but you know, I seeing how Brunson plays, I don't know if Donovan Mitchell and Brunson would be able to coexist. You know, because Donovan Mitchell is also a guy that wants the ball in his hands all the time, and Brunson's a guy that wants to, you know, facilitate and control the game as well. So they have similar styles, and I can't see them coexisting on the same team. So I think it'd be best if Mitchell did re-sign with the Cavs. And what we need is Randle to come back. And if we can get, like, another big man, I've always said this the last several years, we need another big man, you know, to help us down the post, you know, with scoring. Robinson, I like Robinson. He gives us defense and rebounding, but at the end of the day, he doesn't give us much offense. Hartstein has provided that a bit while Robinson was out, but I'd still like us to get like a big guy in the paint to help out, you know, to help out Randall a bit, you know, down there. I think that's our bigger need than having another guard, you know, in this lineup.
Yeah, but and you make a valid point. We do need a scoring threat down low. But my argument is, you know, if Mitchell, I agree with you. Mitchell Robinson's gonna, unfortunately, he's gonna sign an extension with the Cavs. I think that ship has sailed. You know,
Donovan Mitchell, you mean?
Yeah, that's what did I say?
Mitchell Robinson.
I mean Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, I think that ship has sailed, and not to mention, he could sign a 4-year, $200 million contract extension. That's gonna be hard to pass up, because if he signs with us, he's not gonna be able to make that as a free agent. So that's tough for him to pass up. I don't think he'll pass it up, as much as, you know, I'd love to have hope that he could, you know, come to the Knicks, you know, being a, you know, a Knick and a Mets fan, you know, it'd be great to see a star player like that, you know, playing together. And hey, I mean, you never know. Like when in 73, when we had, Clyde and Pearl and the Pearl, man, they didn't think those guys could coexist, but, you know, Earl the Pearl Monroe, he put his game on, you know, on lockdown. You know, he wasn't doing all those showboating, stuff like that, you know, being the main focus. You know, he sacrificed his abilities to, you know, make sure he could be on a winning team to win and not be the focal point of the offense. So I think Donovan Mitchell, if he was on the Knicks, him and Brunson would coexist to distribute the ball. You know, that's another guy who can score. And if Randall's still on the team, you know, that's another option that they could have. But, you know, that's years down the line, barring a trade in the offseason, which I don't think that's going to happen, you know, because Dan Gilbert loves this guy. And he believes, he's confident that Mitchell's going to sign the long-term deal and they have a great relationship and all that stuff. So, yeah, like we've been saying since the start of the show in 2009, you know, when it comes to these superstar players from various teams that we root for, with exception of the Yankees, you know, we'll believe it when we see it. So
Well, you know, right now we have a superstar in Brunson that is helping us win. And that's all that matters. So we can't focus on right now getting a guy who's probably not going to be with us down the road. So right now the focus should be on this year and what this current team can do with the roster that they have. And they have a pretty good roster. I mean, Dante DiVincenzo, I mean, this guy has been shooting lights out. I mean, he's going to set the Knicks all-time record for 3 points made in the season.
Oh, he already did.
He already did.
Dispersed.
I mean, he's like our modern-day John Starks almost, you know, on this team. This guy's been shooting the lights out. I would like to see Bogdanovich get better. I think since he's come over, he hasn't lived up to expectations since he's come over from the Pistons. Neither has Burks. So both of those guys need to step up a bit as we head to the playoffs, because, we expected Bogdanovich to score a bit more. And, he's been okay, but he hasn't been as advertised.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier today, too, you know, along with the Wembanyama emergence. I agree, you know, they should, you know, they got Bogdanovich. So he could be that big man who could shoot threes, and you know he could have helped out more, you know, yesterday, you know, but I think they should try to play him more, you know, because right now both teams, the Pistons and the Knicks, you know, it's a wash. None of the guys really did anything for either teams, for either teams right now. You know, Burks and him, Bogdanovich hasn't done anything. So, I mean, and Fournier, I don't think he's doing anything.
I mean, what did we really expect Fournier to do anyway? I mean, he wasn't doing anything here. He's not going to do anything over there, so.
Well, you know, he thought, you know, he'd been blaming the Knicks for him, you know, not being able to play. So, you know, him being there, you would have thought he would have more of an opportunity as a veteran on that, you know, losing team, the Pistons right now. He would have had more of an opportunity, but
well, sucks to be
that
him.
Wasn't the case.
Sucks to be him.
Yeah, it does. But, yeah, we'll, what was I going to say? We'll take a break and, you know, we'll come back. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk about the Yankees surging and the Mets in a tailspin, like Baloo. So we'll be right back. And, you know, you're listening to Sports Urban Legend with your host William Ramo and Macaulay Matthew. So we'll be right back. After this brief break. Hey, what's up? Welcome back to Sports Urban Legend. I'm your host, William Ramon, and of course, Macaulay Matthews on the other side of, you know, the line here. So before we get right into baseball, talk about, you know, I'm going to talk you know, a few news going on in you know, in sports, you know, lately. The Rangers, they won a slugfest or a shootout. They had like a shooting barrage over there in Arizona. They won by the final score 5 against the Arizona Coyotes. Congratulations to Alex Lafreniere with his first career hat trick for the victory. Jonathan Quick, the goalie, he sets a record, surpassing Ryan Miller on the all-time list of U.S.-born goalies with 392 victories as a goalie. And as a result, the Rangers was able to get their 50th win of the season. And, you know, thanks to Jonathan Quick having 27 saves, he was able to make history. And the bread man, Panarin, he scored his 44th goal of the season. And as a result of Lafreniere's hat trick, he has 25 goals for the season, which is a career high for him. So congratulations to the Blue Shirts on the big victory, and they'll be hosting the Pittsburgh Penguins on Monday night. So congrats to the Rangers on their recent victory.
Yeah, congrats. This might be a big year for New York. You got the Rangers playing well, you got the Knicks playing well,
mm-hmm.
Yankees playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe 2024 might be a great year for New York.
Could be, you know, MSG could be partying like it's 1994, but hopefully with the Knicks actually, you know, winning the title this time.
Yeah.
We shall see. We're going to get right into your Yankees momentarily. But yeah, they recently made a big trade, and they got Hassan Reddick, from Eagles after their former player Huff went to the Eagles. You know, he's a Reddick is a multiple time pro bowler. He went this year and last year, and you know, he had a good season, you know. So what's your thoughts, you know, since you're familiar with the Eagles being your division, what's your thoughts on the trade?
I think it's a good trade for both teams. I think.
No, I should say rather. Well, yeah, actually, I'm right. It is a trade.
Say that again.
No. For a second, I thought I was wrong, but yeah, it was a trade. It was they traded a you know, a pick for him.
I think it's a good trade for both teams. I think Eagles right now they're gonna be. Eagles with this pick, you know, they're going to just add more for their future. And right now, Eagles are already stacked as it is as far as offense and defense. So, you know, trading Hassan Reddick to the Jets is not going to hurt them, I think. It'll only help the Jets. I think Jets need more defense. And I think Reddick will add that, you know, this year. I still think the Jets need to add more offense to their team to give Aaron Rodgers more help. But I think this is a good move for both teams going forward.
I agree. Yeah, you're getting a guy who has 11 sacks last year. And, you know, the Jets, you know, they gave up their conditional 2006 third rounder. So, yeah, they definitely needed to make this move. So,
yeah.
You know, the Jets are making some move. Hopefully, it will pay dividends, and you know, the Jets can have a strong playoff run that they predicted before the Aaron Rodgers injury. So we'll see what happens. But speaking of playoffs, let's talk about the hottest team in New York, which, stop me if you heard this before, the New York Yankees. You know, they are they're undefeated right now, and they're undefeated against their longtime rival, the Houston Astros. They're 3-0, and Juan Soto has been looks like he's been the difference. He hit his first Yankee home run, which proved to be the game winner. The Yankees won 5-3, and the Yankees they look to bring the broom on the Astros, and I'm sure you're excited.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's been in this Astros series so far that the Yankees have won three games to start the season. There's been three difference makers. Juan Soto, as you mentioned, Oswaldo Cabrera in his sophomore year, and the Astros bullpen, which has been sloppy. Those have contributed to these three wins over these three games. And, you know, all three games the Yankees were trailing. Three games they were trailing, and they managed to come back. I mean, today they were trailing 3-1, and then Cabrera hits that two-run home run to tie it, and then that was followed by Soto hitting that home run, and the bullpen shut them down, and now we're up three games in the series. I mean, offensively, we haven't been really hitting that. We haven't been good offensively this series. We've gotten key hits to come back, and with the Astros bullpen looking like garbage, like the trash cans that they bang to win the World Series in 2017. I think we've gotten a bit lucky in some of these games, but I'll take it, against the Astros, our rivals, for the last 7-8 years, this is sending a message to not only them, but to the league that, this year might be special. And we got to finish it off tomorrow when we play the I don't know if you can call it a rubber game at this point, right? We just got to sweep them.
No, it's not a rubber game.
We just got to sweep them at this time. Yeah, because we've already won the series. So tomorrow is just – we got to just finish the sweep, get the job done. And I think who will pitch tomorrow? I think maybe Clark Schmidt might pitch tomorrow, I believe. I'll have to check. As far as pitching – Gerrit Cole is probably not going to be back until June with the elbow issue that he's having. Stroman looked good today. Stroman he threw 100 pitches, 101 pitches, and he had 58. How many strikeouts did he? He struck out four, actually. Struck out four, lost four hits, walked two, three. Unearned runs. I mean, not bad. Pretty decent. Pretty decent. And the other pitchers, Cortez and Rodon, they did well. They did okay as well. Bullpen has looked okay. It could be better. But, I think we've gotten a bit lucky in this series due to the Astros playing a bit sloppy in their bullpen, not being very good. So, but a win is a win. We'll take it. And just got to finish your job tomorrow against the Astros.
Absolutely. I mean, what can you say about the Yankees? The Yankees are hot right now. They can't lose, and they're doing it against the perfect team to do against the Astros, a team that has been their number.
They've had their number. They've had our number over the years.
So, props to the Yankees. The Yankees, they're gonna look to put the broom on the Astros in Houston, a place that's usually a house of horrors for them. So, props to the Yankees. But on the other side of the coin, kind of like the Charles Dickens Great Expectation. No, the
Tales of the Two Cities.
Oh, shit, I said Tales of the Two Cities, my fault. With the it's the best of times, it was the worst of times, because yeah. The only difference, Yankees doing well, Mets not doing well. Not that's not shocking, but the Mets actually losing a season opener, that is surprising. I don't know if you know this, Mac. I don't know if you know this tidbit, but the Mets lost their first 8 opening days. The first opening day they won was 1970, which means they won the World Series before they ever won a home opener or any opener. So once the decade changed from 1969 to 70, that's when the Mets started having the greatest opening day winning percentage in history, in Major League history. And mind you, they lost the first 8 in a row. So the Mets are usually money when it comes to the opening days, but man, mama didn't say there'd be days like this, man. It's really bad, man. The Mets, man. They the first game they got no hit, or I should say they got one hit for the first time in their franchise history in opening day. Sterling Marte hit a solo home run, which is his first home run since Independence Day, July 4th of last year. That was the last time he homered. And that was it. We got one hit. What was I going to say? Quintana, he didn't pitch well. I mean, he had a shaky first inning, but he was able to not give up any runs in the first. But in the fifth inning, that's when the walls, you know, came down on him, and, you know, he gave up some runs. And the Mets, they only had one hit, which was the solo bomb from Marte. Then you fast forward to today, and you had Severino, your boy Severino, coming the 25th pitcher in Mets and Yankees history to pitch for both teams. He looked like Severino of last year. He got his butt kicked. He gave up an RBI single to Willie Adames, and Rhys Hoskins. He's been doing his best Chase Utley impression. I mean, that was his former teammate, Mauricio Murat. Or maybe I'm wrong, but in any case. Yeah, Rhys Hoskins hit a two-run single in the to make the Brewers have a 3-0 lead, and then Hoskins would hit a 2-run home run in the third inning to make the Brew Crew up 5-1. Because Francisco Alvarez hit a solo home run in the second inning to cut the lead to 3-1. Alvarez would go finish the game 3-for-4 with 2 RBIs. But unfortunately, it wasn't enough. Johan Ramirez, he got ejected because he tried to he threw a pitch at Hoskins, and he did his best Sean Estes versus Roger Clemens impression, because threw at him, it went way out, way past his backside, not even close to hitting him. I don't know, Mets, man, they don't hit people, they don't try to hit people. But when they do, they can't hit. They can never hit somebody. It's like, I mean, Mets, man. They let these players have their way with them. These people are talking smack. What's his name? Hoskins. He had a tough slide, which
That was legal heart slide, by the way. I don't know why McNeil got upset over that. Exactly. That was not illegal from what I saw.
Well, McNeil thought it was a dirty slide, you know, a dirty play or whatever.
Looking at that, do you think that was an illegal slide? Looking at that play.
I thought it was kind of late, you know, it was kind of, you know, because he was kind of away from the bag a bit, you know, to be honest with you. So I thought it was kind of late. I thought he could have slide more towards the bag and not towards him, in a sense. So, I mean, could it be a legal slide? Yeah, I mean, it could have been. But I guess, you know, in this day and age, people, you know, players are not used to people going dirt, you know, hard into people like that. So, in my eyes, I thought it was, you know, I thought it was dirty. But, I mean, again, it could be, you know, players are not used to having people, like, going into them like that. Especially with the new rules and stuff like that. So, but yeah, then Hoskins was, you know, egging him on, you know, doing taunts, taunting him, saying like he's a crybaby and all this stuff like that, you know. Like, it's just, I mean, it is what it is. And Mets have history with him. Obviously, he was a Philly throughout his career before this year. You know, he hit a home run off he taunted them a few years ago. And then afterwards he hit a home run off the Mets and it took him like a minute or a minute and a half. No, I don't even think it was an exaggeration for him to run around the bases. Like, he took his sweet time running around the bases. You know, he's had some history, you know, talking smack and, you know, taunting the Mets. But that's what happens. If you let these guys be comfortable at the plate, like they did these past couple of games, especially today, that's what's gonna happen. You let this guy. You know, they let all these people become famous, you know, killing the Mets. I mean, I lost count how many Met killers are out there in the game. If it wasn't for the Mets, a lot of players wouldn't be even in the league right now. So, I mean, he's a good player. You know, don't get me wrong. Reese Hoskins is a good player. You know. But, you know, if you're going to hit him, one, you got to hit him. You got to try to hit him in the first inning. And two, if you're going to try to hit somebody, hit somebody. Don't be in between like, oh, I'm going to scare the person. I'm not going to throw at them. I'm just going to throw it away from them and make them scared. Like, if you're going to do that, don't even bother pitching because it's embarrassing. I mean, the Mets, they don't know how to hit people. I mean, in my opinion, the Mets have the best pitching franchise in the history of the game. But when it comes to hitting people, they're out of their league. And as you can see with their record, the 0-2 record, which is the first time they've started the season 0-2 since 2014, which is literally a decade ago. You know, they have no business throwing at people because they can't even do it right. They don't know how to throw at people, and period. So I mean, it's embarrassing, man. This is almost the way this 0-2 start, and I know I might be overreacting because it's just there's 160 games left in the season, but they didn't do a lot to improve the team. They made a lot of moves that are and I've been a Mets fan and a baseball fan since 99. And so many years, especially during the Wilpon era, it's always, if this happens, if this person stays healthy and that person stays healthy and this person has a career year and that person has a bounce back year and all this stuff, then the Mets are going to make the playoffs and potentially, you know, go deep in the playoffs and, you know, hopefully win a championship. And all the what-ifs never happen. Murphy Law always goes into effect. Can go wrong, will go wrong, and it's been like that. You know, I mean, they props to them. They made the signing to get JD Martinez, but they should have did more. They should have tried to go after Montgomery or somebody like that to try to make this team a surefire deep deep postseason team, and they didn't do that. What they did was they basically got guys with past glory and said, hey, if this person can – all we have is a bunch of reclamation projects when you think about it, you know, starting the starting rotation. You know what I mean? With Senga hurt, Senga's going to be gone for, like, at least a month or two. You know what I mean? He's after his rookie year, he's proven he can hang in the big league as long as he stays healthy. But Severino, Manaea, who hasn't pitched yet, he's gonna pitch tomorrow. Hopefully he can right the ship. But you know those two guys, you know they're reclamation projects. You know they both have great, you know, both had great success in the big leagues, in the American League, you know, mostly obviously Severino spent his whole career with the Yankees, and obviously Manaea, started his career with Oakland, and you know, started to turn his season around last year with the Giants after he got traded, but all these moves, and then they got Hauser in a trade with Brewers. He hasn't pitched yet, but we'll see what he does. But what can you say, man? They just got to turn the ship around, man. What's your thoughts? As a Yankee bystander.
I mean, the offense has not played well. This team hasn't done anything offensively in the series. That's why they lost these two games, and you gotta calm your emotions down a bit. McNeil was wrong for overreacting like that on that hard slide. It was a legal slide when I saw it, so I don't know why he reacted like that, which almost led to a brawl between the two benches. And then you throw a ball. It didn't look like it was over Hoskins' head. It looked like it was just over his back.
Yeah.
Still, it looks like the pitcher was still trying to throw at him.
Yeah.
Even though he denies it.
Even though we know it's true. It's obvious he tried to throw at him and he sucked at it.
Not only that, but he also charged the plate, thinking, well, at first it looked like he was just going to catch the ball, but the catcher was already in position to catch the ball anyway, and then he kind of glared at Hoskins like he was going to do something.
Mm.
Which was weird, but that almost led to a brawl also. But the Mets need to calm down a little bit, not let their emotions get the best of them. You know, this is the beginning of the season. No need to overreact to things like that. But the Mets need to learn, stop getting Hoskins mad. Because every time you get him mad, he hits a home run. If you remember several years ago, They tried to throw him in the Philly series, and then he goes ahead and hits a home run and then trots around the bases for 34 seconds.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. That's what I was alluding to.
Yeah, yeah. So and this time he also hits another home run today. So you got to stop getting this guy mad because, you know, we've seen now multiple occasions what he can do. But, you know, as far as the Mets are concerned, you know, you have the rubber game tomorrow. You're going to have to try to win that, you know, to salvage the series. And the offense just has to play better.
Yeah.
Just has to play better. I mean, the pitching hasn't been bad. The pitching hasn't been
bad. Yeah,
I mean, I know Severino gave a, 12 hits today?
Which is a career high for him.
Which was not good, but you guys were still in the game. You guys still had a chance to win this game.
Yeah, because Beatty hit a 3-run home run late for his first home run of the year.
Yeah,
and Alonso
had that home run. Right.
In the ninth, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so you guys still had a chance to win that game. So, I mean, the pitching hasn't been horrible.
Yeah.
You know, Severino did get knocked around a bit, but you guys still were in it.
Game one was a 3-1 final. So, yeah, it wasn't the offense was at fault for that.
Offense needs to play a little bit better, you know, in the games, especially early on. But, you know, it's still early. I don't think you need to panic yet. I mean, we're only two games in, so we still need to see, you know, what this Mets team can do. So And these first two games, you haven't played well against the Brewers. Let's see what happens tomorrow.
Yep. Basically, we're facing the team that David Stearns built up before he came over here to, as the president of baseball operation. I guess, I don't know, I guess we should look at it as a good thing. Like, if he can make the Brewers a good team like that, I mean, with the Mets resources, you know, the Mets, you know, should be a much better team over time. But we'll see. I mean, Mets have some prospects, you know, coming up. Acuna, you know, Ronald Acuna's brother. He's playing in AAA. You know, they got some other good guys over there too. Gilbert, I think they hit back to back home runs in the first AAA game on Friday night. You know. And I think maybe Vientos might have homered today in AAA. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the Mets, you know. And then they got some good young pitching. Scott, what other names they have? Sprout, Vassell. So, I mean, the Mets, you know, they have some potential, you know, prospects down there, but you know prospects are suspect until they prove it in the league, so the big league, so we'll see what happens. And like I said, and like you said, you know, they got 160 games left in the season, so hopefully the Mets can salvage this win, I mean, you know, this game coming up today as the clock strikes midnight, like Cinderella. Hopefully, the Mets will have a Cinderella story, you know, now that the clock struck midnight, and maybe the Mets will be who we thought they were, you know. So we'll see about that. But before I go to WWE, talk about WWE and give my WrestleMania, predictions. For this upcoming WrestleMania. Let me briefly talk about the Nets. You know, congratulations to them. They set an NBA record with 18 three-pointers in the halftime. They beat the Bulls by the final score of 125-108. And, They were able to set that record because Schroeder and Bridges, you know, a guy who the Knicks players, you know, his former college teammates Brunson and Hart, you know, they've been trying to recruit DiVincenzo. They've been trying to recruit this guy to come to the Knicks. Schroeder and Bridges had 7 three-pointers in that game. Cam Thomas scored 28 points. All in all, props to the, you know, to the Nets, and they will be hosting the Lakers today. So we'll see what happens with the Nets. So Schroeder scored 27 points and Bridges had 25 points, capped by each of them having 7 three-pointers. So, you know, congrats to the Nets. And with that said, let's take one more break and we'll go straight into WrestleMania, give you our predictions. So we'll be right back for our final break after these messages.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody? Welcome again to a special WrestleMania episode of Sports of the Legend. I'm William, M.O., and of course, Mac is still here. Mac Macaulay Matthews is still here. And yeah, let's get right into this WrestleMania preview. You ready, Mac?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's do it, man. Like, this is WrestleMania 40. And let's give you our picks, our honest opinions of what we think is going to happen both nights. So, first off, we got the LWO, the Latino World Order. You got Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio versus Santo Escobar and Judgment Day member and potential part-time Legado del Fantasma member, Dominic Mysterio. Who do you think is going to win this?
Wow. Man. Hugo, I have to think about this. This is tough.
I'll tell you what I think. You know, they should have made it a six-person tag match. You should have had Dragon Lee. Or they could have Rey Mysterio, Carlito. I would have picked Rey Mysterio, Carlito, and have what's her name? Zelina Vega, since you know she's always had a dream of tag teaming with Rey Mysterio because Rey Mysterio was her hero growing up. Her and her father were fans of The Rock as well. Her father passed away, during the attack of 9/11. But, you know, something that her and her father shared was their passion for wrestling and, especially WWE. So, she was able to finally, go to WWE because, she was in TNA and all these other wrestling organizations. You know, her dream, finally came true. So I thought, this close to her, her dream, they were going to finally make her, have a WrestleMania matchup with her teaming up with Rey, but they dropped the ball on that one. So we're going to have Rey Mysterio versus Dragon Lee. And of course, this upcoming week is the WrestleMania week. So things can change from now till this Saturday and Sunday coming up. The Rock's going to talk about his beatdown that he gave Cody Rhodes on this past Raw, and it's going to be in Brooklyn, so it's going to be off the charts right there. But we'll get more into that. But so basically, it's LWO Dragon Lee versus Rey Mysterio versus Santo Escobar and Dominic. I'm picking the upset. I'm picking Legado del Fantasma to win this because we did not have no idea until Friday that we were going to have potentially a rematch of Rey Mysterio versus his son Dominic. So this is Dominic's chance to get that win back against his father, avenge his loss against Rey at last year's WrestleMania. So for that reason, I'm picking Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio to get this victory. Maybe even a betrayal by Dragon Lee, for all we know.
Yeah, this is a tough one, but I think I'm gonna have to go with you. Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to go with Santos Escobar and Dominic as well.
Yeah, because Rey is fighting his son again, two WrestleManias in a row, but. But this time it's a tag team match instead of a one-on-one matchup. This is Dominic's chance to get that avenge his loss.
Yeah.
And another match that got set up on Friday night was Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill.
This match. I think that's great.
Yeah, they should definitely form a faction, long-term faction. Versus Damage Control. Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. six women tag team match. I'm picking Belair, Naomi, and Cargill to win this matchup.
Yeah, I'm picking Black Girl Magic as well.
Oh, you know, that should be their name, Black Girl Magic. That should be their name.
Picking Bianca, Bella, and Cargill, and Naomi. I think that's going to be too much for
Feel the Glow.
Those Asian girls.
The storm's brewing,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you got the EST. I mean, that's, oh, man, that's a beatdown.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That is gonna be a treat right there. And then you got Logan Paul, Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens triple threat match for the WWE US title, which for Logan Paul it seems like a 2-on-1 handicap match because Randy Orton and Kevin Owens have been buddy buddies this whole time, but you know something's gonna happen this week where Randy Orton is going to probably RKO Kevin Owens, or Kevin Owens is going to stunner Randy Orton, and then they're going to turn on each other, you know. Because right now it seems like a 2-on-1 handicap match.
Yeah. And this one's going to be tough. But I think Kevin Owens is going to win it somehow.
That's a good point. Who do I think is going to win it? Yeah, Randy Orton winning the United States title doesn't do anything for him. I think Kevin Owens. I think I have to agree with you. Kevin Owens would win it. I mean, Logan Paul could walk out of it, champion, but there's no. I think he serves his purpose. I mean, he won the title. He gave it publicity, having the title, and the perfect place for him to drop the title is WrestleMania. So,
yeah.
To Kevin Owens, because Randy Orton winning the United States title is not going to do anything for him.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's never won the title, though, right? I don't think he's ever won the title.
That's a good question.
I don't think he ever has, but I don't think it's going to do anything for him anyway, him winning the title, because the title they're looking for him to win is another heavyweight title. You know, I don't think Randy Orton's ever won. I don't think Randy Orton's ever won that title, though. But, again, the title would mean more to Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And, of course, obviously Logan Paul, you know, him being, this being his first time. He has won it before. He won the WWE title 10 times. 10 times. He won the World Heavyweight title 4 times, which was the first time he won it also. Won the Intercontinental title 1 time, won the U.S. title 1 time as well. He's won the tag team titles multiple times.
Yeah, because he's
one
the Grand
time
Slam
with
champion.
Edge, one time, two times with Riddle, one time with Bray Wyatt when he briefly joined the Wyatt family. So not to mention Money in the Bank or a Rumble, you know. So, yeah, this title win wouldn't do anything for him.
Yeah, I don't think it would be. So, I'm going with Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're in agreement with that. Jay versus Jimmy Uso, the Battle of the Uso Brothers. I'm picking Jay to win this one. What about you?
I'm going with Jay as well.
Yeah, man, this is the main event, Jay Uso. This is his defining moment. He has to win. What did you say?
Yeet.
Oh my God! I had a feeling you were gonna say that. Oh man, what a I know I'm in the minority of this, and here's another hot take of mine. But that catchphrase is the most overrated catchphrase in recent WWE history. Yeet. I think I don't like that catchphrase almost as much as his brother does. Jimmy, I mean, come on, yeet. What is yeet supposed to mean? Yes or yet? What does it mean? Created or is this a new?
Well, that's been yeet has been a thing for. I mean, that's been like slang for a number of years. I mean, he didn't come up with it himself. And that's always been like urban slang, you know.
Yeah, I'm getting up there. I'm getting too old for this.
I mean, it usually means like, you know, surprise or if you're excited, you know, eat. But yeah, he didn't come out with it. That's been an urban slang for years.
Well, now I know. And knowing's half the battle. Moving along, LA Knight versus AJ Styles. You know LA Knight's going to win this one. I'd be surprised if Styles won this.
Yeah, he's got to win this one.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big WrestleMania matchup.
Mm-hmm. And if AJ Styles loses, he's going to be like the modern-day Shawn Michaels because he lost to Undertaker the Barnyard match. What did he lose? AJ Styles lose to? I think he lost to other people. Maybe even Shane and who else did he lose to? Did he lose to Seth Rollins? I mean, I think how many times has he won WrestleMania? AJ Styles. Yeah, that's something
I'm
gonna have to look up.
Yeah, have to do research on that.
Clear. AJ Styles WrestleMania record. Let's see. Okay, let's see. He won against Almos against New Day. It looks like, I think. Let's see. Yes, he won with Omos, but I think before that he lost all those matches. He fought against Randy Orton WrestleMania 35. So 37 he won with Omos. 35. He lost. 34. He went against Nakamura. Styles won that one. Jericho. Lost against Jericho. Against Undertaker, we know about that for sure. He lost that one. And against Shane McMahon, he beat Shane. So he looks like he has a winning record. He's probably 3-2 or something. It's 6 matches I think they ranked. So he's probably, it might be 3-3. Let's see, 1. Two. Yeah, he's 500. He's 3-3. He's 3-3 in WrestleMania.
Okay. Well, he could be 3-4. WrestleMania.
Sure looks like it. Then you have Judgment Day. You got Finn Balor and Damian Priest versus DIY or the Regeneration X, as R-Truth calls them, with Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, since he thinks they're, you know, Shawn Michaels and Triple H, versus the Awesome Truth, the aforementioned R-Truth and Miz, versus the New Day, which is Kofi and Xavier Woods, versus A-Town Down Under, which is Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, versus New Catch Republic, which is Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. And this is for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. I'm going to pick, I was going to say DIY, because they never won the tag titles in WWE. I think they won it in NXT before they both won single NXT, you know, titles, you know, champ heavyweight titles. I could see them winning it, but with A-Town down under, I could see WWE. Let me think. It's between DIY and A-Town down under winning. You know what? I'm going to pick A-Town down under, even though it's a heel versus a heel kind of thing, but it's a six-person, six-team. I'm going to pick A-Town down under to win it. It would be nice to see Awesome Truth win it or DIY, but I'm going to pick A-Town down under to win it.
This is a tough one.
It is a tough one. You can see basically all of these teams winning it.
Yeah. I think Awesome Truth is gonna win it.
I hope so.
I think that's the build up right now to see Awesome Truth. I don't think they'll hold it for long, but I think they're gonna win it. I'm going with Awesome Truth.
I hope you're right. I'm hoping you're right, man. That's what I'm rooting for, but I think WWE, man, they got Austin Theory and Grayson Waller in this match. You know they want to stick it to the fans and have them PO that they won this.
I don't know. Lately, WWE has been pandering to the fans, so we'll see.
We shall see. And speaking of WWE pandering to the fans, hopefully that'll be the case because Gunther, he's going to be going one-on-one against Sami Zayn. You know, for the Intercontinental title. My gut is telling me Gunther's going to win it because of the build-up that they haven't really had a build-up for Sami Zayn. They've killed Sami Zayn's momentum because, to me, I think he should have been the one finishing his story against Roman Reigns instead of Cody. But, you know, WWE and the Cody fans, they think otherwise. You know, I'm pulling for Sami Zayn to pull off this upset, but most likely he's not going to win. But I'm going to pick Sami Zayn. You know, I'm going to pick Sami Zayn because they really need to give this guy something because they killed all his momentum. What's your thought?
I'm going with Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn for the win.
I hope so. I'm pulling for him. Because he hasn't had a major win since him and Kevin Owens won the tag team match against the Usos. So, you know, I'm hoping that Sami Zayn can win this one. Back-to-back WrestleManias. Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. Leaning towards Becky Lynch, but I could see Rhea Ripley retaining. This is a tough one. I could see Ripley retaining. I don't know. I want to pick Becky, but maybe Rhea might win. I think this maybe Rhea might retain it. I think there's too many title changes. Maybe Rhea will win it. Okay, I'm gonna go against my gut, and I'm gonna pick Rhea to retain.
Yeah, I think Rhea's gonna retain as well.
And Io Sky versus Bayley, this is definitely going to be a title change right here.
Yeah.
Bayley has to win this, you know, for the whole build-up, the whole her, you know, building damage control and losing it. And this has to be her. This has to be Bayley's redemption.
I agree. I think Bayley's going to win it.
Everybody's talking about Cody finishing the story. Bayley got to win this match, even though obviously this is not her first championship. But this is her first title since her turning heel and now becoming a babyface back again. Bayley need this win. You got Charlotte Flair basically saying that, you know, she's, you know, an afterthought within the group she started before Charlotte got injured again. This is Bayley redemption song right here. She got it. She got to win this. All right. And then night one, you got the – this is the match I'm looking forward to. The Bloodline, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. Roman Reigns and if Rollins and Rhodes win, all members of Bloodline will be banned from ringside during night two when Roman Reigns will go against Cody Rhodes. However, if Roman Reigns and The Rock wins, then it will be a Bloodline rules match, which means anything goes, you know, Bloodline-wise. Anybody can interfere in anything. It's a no-holds-bar match. Will it mean that Cody Rhodes can't do anything? That's what it looks like they're implying, but it looks like Bloodline members can, you know, no disqualification for Bloodline. And because of those reasons, I'm rooting for my boy The Rock to win his win another WrestleMania match as he becomes one of the few wrestlers to main event four different WrestleMania events per, you know, each decade, the last four decades. So picking my boy The Rock and Roman Reigns to win night one. And then night two, you'll have Seth freaking Rollins lose the title to Drew McIntyre, or Damian Priest might cash it in on either of these guys to walk away as champion, since after losing the tag team titles, you know. So I think Damian Priest is gonna cash in the Money in the Bank, especially if Seth Rollins retains. You know, so The Rock, making good on his promise that Seth Rollins, just like that, he's gonna lose his title. And who knows? Maybe The Rock might even use his rematch clause that he had when he lost to John Cena a decade ago at MetLife Stadium, 2013 or so? Can't remember, 2013 or 2014, when he lost the title to Cena at WrestleMania 29. So, I mean, maybe he might cash in, maybe he might use his rematch and maybe become champion that way against Cody or Seth Rollins, if any of these guys win. And then here goes Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, where Cody Rhodes will finish his story after he got bloodied and beat up by The Rock on Monday Night Raw, which was a shocking thing. I thought he was going to throw him off the bridge, to be honest.
Yeah, he beat him up attitude style.
Oh, yeah.
Attitude era style.
It reminded me when The Rock was fighting against Austin for the Intercontinental title, and he threw Austin off the title, off the bridge. Wait a minute. They had two fights, one for the Intercontinental, and I think one.
Yeah.
And one for the Broken Skull belt.
Right.
I think that's when he threw him off, when he had when Stone Cold had the Broken Skull.
Didn't he throw him off in the Intercontinental as well?
Possibly.
Or was that the other way around? Did Rock throw Stone Cold off?
No, yeah, Rock threw Stone Cold off the bridge when he had the Stone Cold funeral. But I think
that was Intercontinental.
I think that was for the. Huh.
I remember when that happened, but that was during their Intercontinental Championship feud.
You know what? It might have happened one time then. It might have been. The Intercontinental...
Look it up. Let's look it up right now and see.
Yeah, let me see. because he had the title after Stone Cold, for the second time after Stone Cold vacated the title. Let me look quickly.
I'm thinking of when Stone Cold threw the Intercontinental belt in the water.
Yeah, I think the title.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, he threw the Rock's title, Intercontinental title into the water, and then Rock got redemption and threw Stone Cold off the thing and stole his Broken Skull title belt.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Stone Cold threw the Intercontinental title. So this was probably like, what, 97? Yeah, 97. December 15, 1997. So he threw the Rock's Intercontinental belt, you know, off the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Rock threw Stone Cold off the bridge on April 12, 1999.
Okay.
So, yeah. And there's rumors that maybe Stone Cold and Cena might interfere in this matchup, you know. And then there's rumors that Rock might turn on Roman Reigns and secretly reveal that he was with Cody Rhodes all along. I mean, who knows? I mean, after he bloodied Cody Rhodes like that, I'm like, man, I was thinking he was like secretly siding with him. But that was a beatdown. But it's probably part of their plan. Probably him telling him, you know, us thinking, you know, he's telling him that he's going to, make him bleed. Is maybe he's giving him, you know, warning that they're calling an audible that he's gonna initiate the plan that to, you know, make him bloodied up and, you know, throw, you know, Roman Reigns, you know, off their scent, that they're in it together, because Seth Rollins might turn on Cody Rhodes too, because remember him and Roman Reigns were in the Shield, so you never know.
This is what I think will happen.
I think in the
championship matches, I think Cody and Seth Rollins will lose to Rock and Roman Reigns, which will set up bloodline rules from night 2.
Repeat that again?
I think Cody and Seth Rollins will lose to Rock and Roman Reigns on night 1, which will set up bloodline rules for night 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following night, we will have Cody Rhodes win the belt by beating Roman Reigns.
Agreed.
Due to Rock betraying him somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will have Seth Rollins lose. Actually, you'll have Seth Rollins beat Drew McIntyre, and then you'll have Damian Priest cash in or attempt to cash in on Seth Rollins, but will be unsuccessful.
Hmm. I think if Seth Rollins win, Damian Priest is cashing on him.
And winning the belt?
Yeah, I think so. But what about if Damian Priest lose? Because if Damian Priest loses or Drew McIntyre loses, maybe Rock might even use his final boss card and use his rematch clause and take the title off him too. Who knows? I mean,
probably.
That'd be shocking. I mean, they never reminded people that he never had his rematch clause, because WWE stopped giving people rematch clauses. So I don't know if they'll grandfather that in and remind people that he still has it. This is going to be interesting WrestleMania. Any way you slice it. You got the Hall of Fame coming up on this Friday after SmackDown. You got Thunderbolt Patterson, Paul Heyman, potentially Leah Maivia, The Rock's grandmother, potentially. The U.S. Express, Muhammad Ali. I mean, this is going to be epic. I mean, Rock's going to be at Brooklyn Monday night, so you know something crazy is going to happen there. And then, you know, Roman Reigns is going to try to take the focal point from Rock stealing his spotlight, you know, in this Cody Rhodes feud. So I can't wait to see this, man. So, yeah, we'll be back next in 2 weeks and give you our WrestleMania recap, you know, review of what's going down and what else is going on in the world of sports. So, Mac, you got anything you want to say before we head out?
Just check out my show, iMac. Check out your local listings for that, and come back. Check out Sports Room and Legend every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. And also have a happy Easter weekend as well.
Yes, you stole my thunder right there. Happy Easter, everybody. Hope you all celebrate Easter/Resurrection Sunday. He is risen, and we are very fortunate because of that. So thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. And we'll be back next in 2 weeks on next Saturday, or I should say two Saturdays from now, and give you our WrestleMania recap. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon. I'll see you guys next week, or I should say in 2 weeks from now. Peace.